This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, June 28th, 2026. Ecclesiastes, the meaning of everything. Mind your maker.
Good morning, Connection Church family.
Good morning.
I can't believe it's been 1 year. That's amazing. Time flies when you're having fun. Love you all. Thank you so much. Glory to God. Yeah. So, we made it to the end of June, and we made it to the end of Ecclesiastes. How many of you have been here for this series? You've been here a couple weeks, you know what we've been studying. If it's your first Sunday here for this series, we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes all month, and we hit the finish line today. What a journey it's been. I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed this walk through the Old Testament book, this book of wisdom. A lot of it is challenging. There's some challenging messages in here, but it's also life-changing wisdom. I mean, this is life-changing perspective, and we're going to finish strong today. So how about we go ahead and just say a prayer. Before we do that, how about you turn to your neighbor and see if you can spell Ecclesiastes? You want to try that? See if you got it? Okay, never mind. No, we'll just pray then. We'll just pray. Some of you are trying it. By the end, let's see if we can get it. Let's say a prayer. Let's get ready for the word. God, thank you for this day. We just give you all the praise. This moment, everything, all that we are, it's yours, Lord. It's for you. God, I pray you'd send your Holy Spirit to clear our hearts and minds, God, remove any obstacles, any barriers, any distractions, anything that stands in the way of us fully receiving and responding to your word this morning. It is a living word, living and active. It's powerful. And every time we get to meet together to worship you, every time we get to meet to sit under your word, Lord, it is a life-changing opportunity. We never know what you can do when we just show up and you show up. So, Lord, we just give this time to you. We pray, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Come, Holy Spirit. It's all for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that beautiful, wonderful, powerful name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, so to get us ready for the conclusion of Ecclesiastes, the way this all finishes up in chapter 12, I want to show you some pictures this morning. And you will think this is really cool if you're a National Geographic kind of person. Honestly, why would you not be a National Geographic kind of person? Come on. So check this out. I want to show you some of the biggest ancient ruins in the world that we know of today. Just a couple examples, some amazing pictures here if you start Googling it. Check out this. This is called Angkor Wat. It is in Cambodia. This takes the gold for the largest kind of by square mileage, by acreage, ancient ruins that we know of today. At one point, this city in the 1100s AD housed nearly a million people. It covers over 400 acres, but it was mostly abandoned by the 1500s. And at that point, the jungle started to just swallow it up. Welcome to the jungle, Kevin. we were texting about that song. The jungle just started to swallow it up, and it was such a massive city. Here's another picture closer to our neck of the woods in our hemisphere. This is El Mirador. Check that out. In Guatemala, the jungles of Guatemala. And it is home to one of the largest pyramids in the world. The city once housed 200,000 residents, and it had the world's first kind of superhighway system of stone roads. Isn't that crazy? People lived here for over 1,000 years, starting around 1,000 BC. Crazy. Today, most of it is overgrown with jungle. They've only excavated a small part of it. A lot of it is just completely overgrown with this forest. Let me give you one more example, just one more. Kind of hit that Greco-Roman stuff, that classic stuff of your dream European vacations, okay? This is Pestum, Italy. Look at that. Look at those columns. Look at that. I can hear my high school humanities teacher right now. This was founded in 600 BC, this city, this once thriving coastal city. It has some of the best preserved Greek temples. You can visit it today. It's incredible. But it was in ruin for almost 1,000 years before they kind of rediscovered it when they were building roads in Italy in the 1700s. So there you go. I don't know about you. I just think these things are super cool. The world is full of ancient ruins, and they are beautiful, impressive reminders that no matter how high we rise, what goes up must come down. And everything eventually ends, no matter how impressive it is. So I'm not just showing this to you to get you to, you know, want to watch Indiana Jones when you go home or something like that. I show this to you because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the conclusion of the book, this is the same image that the author, Ecclesiastes, the teacher, in Hebrew it's Kohelet, same image that Kohelet draws our attention to at the end of this book is the image of a kind of fading city, falling into ruin, falling into decline. It's how this ends. It kind of finishes with this poetic flourish, you know, a grand finale. But most biblical scholars agree he's not just talking about a city, he's talking about your life and mine and life in general. He's using the allegory of kind of a fading fortress to describe the fading strength of a human body as it starts to age and these different things start to work differently or not work. So listen to this scripture, this passage that finishes the whole book. Open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. See if you can picture what he's describing with some pretty great poetry. It says, "Remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, white blossoms, by the way, and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless." Ecclesiastes, one more dose of positivity before the end of June, okay? So he gives that ending, and then there's kind of a postscript, and the very last two verses of the whole book say this: "Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." The end. You made it to the end of Ecclesiastes. Congratulations. Now that everything has been said, and if you've been here the last couple weeks or you've read this book before, he's explored all these facets of life under the sun. That's his big phrase, life under the sun, life in this world, life within the confines of this reality right now. He's explored all these things, and he gives one last reality check, as if he didn't give enough already. No matter how impressive somebody looks today, no matter how invincible a civilization seems now, it's all headed to the same place. It's all headed to the ancient history section of National Geographic magazine. Some of you are too young to even remember the magazine, but I remember, you know, Grandpa's National Geographic collection. How cool is that? You know, think about this. If the Lord tarries, and the earth is still here a couple hundred years from now, a couple thousand years from now, one day, this is going to look like this. Yeah? One day, this. Next picture. Yeah. This is going to look like this. It's just the way things go. Sooner or later. One day, Ecclesiastes is saying, this is going to look like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But it's where we're headed. It's where we're headed. Scientists call it the law of entropy. We call it getting old. The Bible calls it the law of sin and death. Genesis 3 says, "From dust you were made, and to dust you shall return." Ecclesiastes looks at everything, reminds us it's a vapor. The voice translation puts it like this. I like how the voice says it. Life is fleeting. It just slips through your fingers. All vanishes like mist. So he ends the message the same way he started it in chapter 1. And we kind of get it by now. It's like, okay, I get it, old man. We're all going to die. I've heard it. Like, let me enjoy my ice cream. But by the end of it, he finally gives us this conclusion. He finally says, now this is what matters. This is what you need to do with this knowledge and this wisdom. This is the point of it all. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Wisdom. Before the slow fade, before the castle becomes a ruin, before the fortress becomes a forest, before then, mind your Maker. Remember him, it says, before the silver cord is severed. This is amazing poetry. And the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel is broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Remember him. Everything under the sun, he says, is vanity, mist. It's here and gone. It's fleeting. And therefore, the meaning of everything, the point of everything is simply this. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. God will bring into judgment, including every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. I like the way the Message translation simplifies it. Fear God, do what he tells you. Plain and simple, right? You wear jeans to church, you're simple like that, like me, just put it that way. Fear God, do what he says, just do it. The voice says, worship and reverence the one true God and keep his commandments. Remember your Creator is the bottom line. Don't live as if he's not your maker and you're not his creature. Don't pretend you're God and you're just going to be here forever. Acknowledge him, reverence him, do what he says. This is the point of everything. Without that, there's no point. And this is actually this word, remember, this is like covenantal language. When you look at the whole Old Testament, that Ecclesiastes is a part of the bigger story. You zoom out, look at the bigger story. Encouragement to remember comes from the covenant, comes from the language of covenant. You know, God made this covenant with Abraham and his family, later the descendants that came out, you know, the Israelites that came out of Egypt. And repeatedly the Old Testament uses this phrase, this exact language of remembrance. It talks about God remembering his covenant with them and keeping his promises. It talks about, you know, encouraging the people to remember their covenant with God, this relationship that they had with him that was a gift by grace that he had initiated with them. It even talks about God remembering their faithfulness and remembering their rebellion, you know, because it was this contract, this relationship that they had been brought into. Remember, remember, remember this covenant. It's like this ring, this wedding ring that I got on October 2nd, 2010. Yeah, myself on the back here. Wow. Anyway, but why do we get these? Why do we wear these? You look down and you remember. I remember that I stood before God and a crowd of witnesses that day, and in one moment my life changed, right? Made vows to be faithful to one exclusively until I breathed my last. Remember. And what's the universal symbol that we see on soap operas and movies and stuff? What do people do when they're unfaithful? What do? We take it off. We forget. We leave it on the nightstand. We hide it in the drawer. We forget. Humans don't have a great track record of faithfulness with each other or with God. We don't have a great track record. We do forget. Life gets complicated. Mistakes get made. But Ecclesiastes still says, remember. You want to know the good life, the life of wisdom? You want to know the path to life? In light of all this reality that everything is just vanity and it goes so quick, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't wait till the end and there's no way out. Don't wait till everything's falling apart or when darkness, you know, is falling. Remember him now while the sun is shining. Because in the end, there's only one judge we all must face for every deed, for every hidden thing. In the end, there's only one opinion that really matters. We live in a culture where everything is, you know, digital. It's highly visible. We're self-conscious in this world of the opinions of the age, what people think about us. We live in this culture where people are so hyper-aware, hypersensitive about all that stuff, and we're constantly faced with this. And even our young people growing up in a world of like so much comparison, so much pressure, you know, to not be under scrutiny, all this stuff, right? We weigh the costs of every step we take, you know, if we're going to be in allegiance with or away from the spirit of the age and what people say we're supposed to do and support and not support and all these things. And we remember that constantly. But do we forget the one opinion that really matters? That really matters. In the end, it's not the opinions of the crowds, like the followers, the fans, even like the friends, the family, the public. It's only what the judge thinks that counts in the end. And we don't like to talk about judgment today. It's not pleasant. But if the Bible is to be believed and Jesus himself is trustworthy, then it's an inescapable part of reality. In the end, everything as we know it will end and we will face the Creator. The Creator who is also the King who is also the Savior who is also the Judge. I thank God he's the Judge and we're not. He's the only one qualified for that job. We will stand before him and give an account. That's what Scripture says. In the Apostles' Creed, we share this regularly. We're gonna reaffirm this at our baptism time today. We share the Apostles' Creed. Remember what it says about Jesus? On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Like Ecclesiastes says, God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, good or bad. Maybe you can put on a good front. But the hidden things, that too? Are you going to live your life like that's coming? Are you going to pretend like there's no accountability for every deed, every hidden thing? Are you going to trust your own track record? Be like, I got this. I'm just going to stand on my own. I think I'm good enough. You gonna trust that when you have to stand before the perfect, impartial, ultimate judge? That's a choice. But here's another choice. You can believe the gospel that Jesus gave his life in exchange for yours, that he took the judgment we deserved so that we can stand at the final judgment, not in our own righteousness, but in his righteousness, imparted to us by grace through faith. That's a choice we can make too. And if we make that choice, if we receive that gift, that promise, that covenant with the Lord Jesus, then he says there is no condemnation. His grace is sufficient. That's good news. Because I don't want to face that moment on my own, in my own strength, in my own worth. I want to stand in his righteousness that he bought for me with his own blood. I'm going with that. I'm putting all my chips in that basket. I don't care what you do, but that's what I'm doing. Oh, I do care what you do. I'd like for you to do the same, actually. That's why I'm preaching. Amen. If that's the end all of us face, if that's where all this is headed, then we don't have to fear anything today. We don't have to fear anybody's judgment of us today if all we're living for is what he says. We don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks. We can live for an audience of one. I don't know about you, I've struggled plenty of times in my life with perfectionism and just feeling the weight of other people's expectations, being worried about what people might think about X, Y, Z. I've struggled with that plenty of times. I'm sure some of you have too, but how freeing is it to know that you can just live for an audience of one? That like it really, he's the only one whose opinion really matters. That is so liberating. And kind of sobering, it kind of wakes you up. Quit playing around. There's one judge. Remember your Creator today. That's the end of Ecclesiastes. Remember your Creator today. If you're still alive, it's not too late. It's not too late. You've got today. Remember your Creator. There's a classic spiritual book by Thomas A. Kempis called The Imitation of Christ. And he writes these amazing words. I just want to share it with you. I think some people need to hear this today. He writes as if, you know, speaking in the voice of Christ to us. Take this in. My child, do not mind if others think ill or say unpleasant things about you. Think of yourself as much worse than they imagine. And regard no one as weaker than yourself. If your inner life is strong, you will not pay much attention to trivial words. When attacked by evil, the wise stay silent. They turn their hearts to me and are untroubled by the judgments of others. Do not let your peace depend on what other people say about you. Whether they speak well or ill of you makes no difference to what you really are. True peace and joy are to be found in me alone. Those who are neither anxious to please nor afraid to displease enjoy real peace. All unrest of heart and distraction of mind comes from distracted feelings and groundless fears. Ecclesiastes says, live for an audience of one. In the end, fear God. Do what he tells you. It's simple. Not always easy, but simple. Mind your maker. Starting now. If you're young, you have an advantage because you can choose. Do you want to learn everything the hard way or the easy way? If you want to learn things the easy way, you choose the path of wisdom that God's laid out. If you've already lived some miles and you've made some mistakes, the good news is it's not too late. You're here right now. God is here right now and he's saying, hey, just come to me. We'll walk it out together. Whoever you are, whatever season you're in, whatever you're going through, mind your maker. Turn to him right now. We have some people today reaffirming their baptism, saying, you know what? I've lived some you know, chapters of this journey, and I'm ready to just recommit my life to Christ. It's time to reaffirm that. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. Mind your maker. We get to do that. We get to live our life for him. I love seeing how people do this in all sorts of ways because we all have a different story, a different testimony, a different place in life, different opportunities to like reach people and live this out. I love seeing how that plays out in all of our lives. I think it's especially compelling when you see somebody doing that who has a significant platform. You know, they're on the biggest stage, they have plenty to lose and they could easily be worried about what others think, but they choose to use that platform to let it be known who they're living for, right? I think it's amazing to see. We all get captivated by that. And you know what is a really big platform right now that I love talking about? Yeah, the World Cup. Let's go soccer. I love it. 6 weeks, the best time of every quadrennium. You might not care about soccer, okay? And if that's you, I don't judge you. I just pity you, okay? I love you. But I'm sure you've seen some of the buzz. You know, it's all over socials, and there's just different, you know, stories of how this is making impact in culture. You know, you're seeing, like, Australians on TikTok discovering the treasures of America, and they're seeing Japanese fans cleaning up the trash in stadiums. You're seeing Scottish fans taking over Boston. That's a real story. It was, wow. But what I have loved watching, besides the great goals, and the USA doing their thing. I have loved watching athletes from all over the world. I think you see it even more in this World Cup than I've ever seen it before, displaying their faith in Christ, taking this opportunity that is like the biggest athletic stage in the world globally, like, and they're using that to be a witness. It's so cool to see. There's social media channels that spotlight this. You can look up Ballers and God on Instagram. It's so cool. You're watching all these stories. So, you know, here's an example. USA, after their games, you can watch them on the broadcast. They form this big circle. Even the coaching staff are in it. And they're in a prayer circle. They won twice. They prayed. They lost. They prayed. And that there is Mark McKenzie from Bear, Delaware, by the way. How cool is that? He's leading the prayer. That's amazing. My favorite story is a German player. He's a midfielder, Felix Nemecha. He's like a top soccer player, a top soccer country, right? And he scores the very first goal for their very first game in the tournament, Germany. Big deal. They won 7-1 in that game. And for his goal celebration, that's a big thing in soccer, the goal celebrations, they've all got their celebrations. Felix runs to the corner flag. He takes a knee and he makes the motion of laying down a crown. Right? This is a viral thing. It's called Crowns Down. And it represents laying down every achievement at the feet of the king. And in the interviews afterwards, speaking in German, he talked about Christ. The entire world watching. I love this. When all is said and done, I think if there's one thing that could sum up how do you live out a message like Ecclesiastes, it would be crowns down. Crowns down. I mean, this life is fleeting. It's precious. It can be confusing. You get what you get. You do what you do. But whatever crown you achieve, it's just crowns down in the end. Crowns down. You take it and you just give it back because you know it's not yours to keep. Whatever life God has given us, whatever platforms we have, great or small, whatever position you're in, we get to share the same message and live the same truth. So you take this precious, beautiful, fleeting life and you surrender it back to God. That's the good life. That's the ultimate truth. That's the meaning of everything. Live this day with the end in sight. If you start to forget it, just read Ecclesiastes again. You'll remember real quick. Live today with the end in sight. Remember your Creator. Lay your crowns down. This is the meaning of everything. I think whenever you do something cool, just do the crowns down celebration. You open the pickle jar, crowns down. You know, you score the goal, crowns down. Like everything. Just crowns down. And listen, today is your only guaranteed chance to make sure you're right with him and living the life he made you for. You get today. What are you going to do? I think what I'm going to do is pray. I don't know how the Lord is speaking to you today, how he's stirring in your life. I don't know what exactly you're going through. But he wants you to receive this and to respond to it today. He wants you to walk out these doors with this perspective. Change how you live. Today is the chance you have to reconcile with that. It's a gift. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every single person, every single precious soul made in the image of God, one of a kind, here in this room, gathering online. What a precious, fleeting gift this life is. God, we take this moment that you've given us. And we want to be right with you, Lord. We want to remember you, Lord. We don't want to go through life just kind of forgetting that you're there. Only turning to you when something goes bad or when we have some kind of rude awakening. Like, we want to just remember you in every moment. You never lose sight of us. You never stop thinking about us. You never take your eyes off us. Lord, help us never to take our eyes off you. God, I pray for the people in this room that you would just stir us, rouse us, wake us up. Wake us up to the reality that this is the chance we have. And then you're not coming to us right now with condemnation. You're coming to us with mercy and grace that is flowing from Calvary. Your blood flowing for us, for our forgiveness, for our salvation. You're coming to us with this matchless gift. We just have to open up and receive it. We have this opportunity while there's breath in our lungs to receive the gift of your life for ours. I pray that you would keep changing our lives, changing us from the inside out, waking us up to the truth. We surrender to you today, Lord. We put our trust in you, Jesus. We're not going to wait till the end, till everything's falling apart. We're going to start right now and say, Lord, we surrender. We lay down our crowns. We live these lives for you and through you. Pray that not a single person would leave this room without reckoning with that today. By your grace. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. God's people say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church.
For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.